It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on a brand new broadcast week. It is the 20th day of March 2023. Spring is here, at least in theory. And terribly happy about it. We've had two sunny days. The fact that they were blistering cold, well, that's spring around here. I've seen a couple inches of snowfall on the first day of spring, so I consider this a win, but it's here. And this is, this week we'll see pretty much the end of March broadcasting with the possibility of a couple of shows on the 30th and the 31st. That having been said, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we have thank yous to send out to our PayPal subscribers for the 20th, the 19th, and the 18th day of the month. And that means thank you ever so kindly, working backwards, thank you ever so kindly to Ralph, and thank you to Vince, and thank you to Dr. John out in New Mexico. Thank you. Thank you to Reverbo, the human man. Still waiting for his helium-filled pants. Thank you, Armand. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks as well to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. And thank you to Clayton. Thank you so very much, and thanks to Kat in Ohio, who is helping out with my travel later this week. So the fundraising goal, as it stands, is $855. Okay, $855. That means today, Friday, and $255 worth of Thursday. Thank you so much. This is independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting. We always need new subscribers. And a reminder that our dear friend Zed out in Iowa has a matching challenge for new subscribers. Every month, five new subscribers can get their first month's subscription doubled. And this would be a great time to, we always need new subscribers, either at Patreon or PayPal. Either way, if you subscribe via PayPal... it'll come out on the day you subscribe. If you subscribe via Patreon, it comes out on the first day of the month. So that's how that works. Hi, I'm Robin. And, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, usually 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, then run on over to... Head on.live, click on chat room, and you will be immediately greeted by the early arrivers to the chat room who will be happy to see you. They love new friends. Squeaky and Anatole are there right now, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, nonetheless has chosen to remain Sparky and not Man Cave, and he is assisted, of course, by... Horn chief mathematician and chief agronomist and bud trimmer emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. So it is Moran Monday, And program note, remember, no show this coming Friday. No show a week from today, a week from tomorrow, a week from Wednesday. Maybe a show on Thursday. Definitely a show on Friday, March the 31st, okay? Because I'm heading up to Princeton, New Jersey. And if any of y'all want to come by and say hi, that would be wonderful if you're in the area. The Princeton Environmental Film Festival would be taking place at the Princeton Public Library there. And I'll be participating in a panel discussion. It'll be the two creators of Devil Put the Coal in the Ground and myself. The film screens at 10:30 in the morning, and the panel discussion is afterward. I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to this. It's gonna be a wonderful time. I'm telling you, it is one of the most moving, profound documentaries. I think it's the most moving, profound documentary ever made about West Virginia, and one of the best that you'll see all year. It's still on the festival circuit, so it hasn't been picked up by any streaming platforms. I think that's the next step after all the festivals. And I can't wait to say, you know, go to Platform X to see this brilliant documentary. So anyway, I'll be there. The film festival's on Sunday. I don't want to go up there like it's some sort of dead rush. So I'm leaving Friday, picking up the rental car, leaving Friday. And I'll give myself all day Friday to drive and see how far I can get, and then drive on in on Saturday. And then film festival Sunday. I'll be talking to some students on Monday. And Monday afternoon, I will head to D.C. and work on the AIC Act Tuesday, Wednesday, and leave Thursday, and then be back home. Again, it's going to be so good to get back into the swing of things, start working on the bill again. Because even though this is a no-good, rotten, miserable POS Congress, we have to keep the bill alive. It's been introduced in every Congress since June the 19th, 2012. And we will keep we'll keep it going in anticipation of perhaps having the majority in 2024 and seeing it reintroduced in 2025. We're not when the AIC Act was first introduced, a brilliant congresswoman, she represented the greater Rochester area in New York, but she came from Harlan County, Kentucky. That's where she was raised, and she'd been trained in the healthcare field. And she was an immediate original co-sponsor of the bill, Congresswoman Slaughter. And she looked at my colleague and I and said, you know, this is a long process. This isn't going to happen immediately. You have to be in it for the long haul. Are y'all? And we said, yes, ma'am, we are. She has since passed on, but her sage advice has remained with us. And so my colleague Bo Webb has already been in D.C. doing some early legwork toward getting it reintroduced. And I've been sending out emails for all I'm worth to prepare the way for more co-sponsors when the bill is when the bill lands. So that's the plan. Life is very complicated for the next 4 days because, well, packing for a trip is not what it once was. The shoes alone are a logistical nightmare. But it's going to be really gratifying to be doing advocacy work for my beloved Appalachia in the halls of Congress. Because the AIC Act is as important now as it ever was, perhaps more so. And in point of fact, the fact of mountaintop removal and the fact that it is still going on puts the lie to all the Republican claims of being pro-life. Because you know what? If you were a pro, if you were pro-life, you would not tolerate this practice, especially knowing what we know about what it does in terms of contributing to the existence of birth defects for children born to parents in the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone, which of course takes in southern West Virginia, southwest Virginia, eastern Kentucky, and northeastern Tennessee. There's nowhere that the blasting dust that goes up does not wreak havoc on the human body. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew exactly where I was going and when I would be back. I'll be honest, I have never driven that section of the country north of Philly, and I don't really know what to expect. And I'm plotting a route that hopefully takes me, I think what I'm going to wind up doing is going straight up 81 and then at some point hanging a right, I don't know, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike or something, hanging a right and then avoiding, you know, D.C., Bulmer, Philly, and somehow or another finding my way into New Jersey. Like I said, totally excited, terribly excited. And the fact, you know, the film festival and helping people to know more about what is, well, hopefully not so quietly anymore, but what is being done to this beautiful, beautiful portion of the country, the oldest mountains on earth. Well, it's been a big part of my life for 20 years now, and I don't see me, I don't see me stepping away from that. Yeah, and global warming too, Anatole. You're absolutely correct. And Brother Deacon Asa informs me that, let me see here, spring will officially arrive in 11 minutes, 5:24 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Well, that's auspicious. We will welcome spring live during the program. I don't think there will be any garlands or dancing or anything, but maybe I won't be so wrapped up in a story that I won't notice when 5:24 gets here. But that's when it'll be here. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the horn, and I should note that Ralphs has kindly put a challenge on the table. The Kayla peeking through the peeking behind the blinds $25 challenge. This photograph, there's not a lot of Kayla to see. About a half of Kayla. The other half is behind the blinds, and she badly wants to go outside and chase birds and squirrels and the like. But she has a ringside seat to the arrival of spring. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so very much. If we can meet that challenge, we will be down to $805 to go. And there will be a, well, there will be bill paying. Because it seems like that's all I ever do. Money comes in, money goes out. But it was a lovely weekend, albeit cold. And I have to, I have to run to Beckley at some point in time because I need to check the mail before I head out. Scott in San Diego says, spring, that noise you hear is the sound of my sap rising. I didn't know there was a sound involved. You know, the ancient Greeks believed that unlike the blood that runs through mortal veins, the gods' veins ran with something called ichor, or ichor, I-C-H-O-R. And that it was, I guess, a syrupy version of liquid gold. And I'm not talking about the furniture polish. Just another piece of useless information from my otherwise busy mind. But like I said, challenge on the table. Thank you, Ralphs. And we've got a lot to work with on this Morin Monday. There's no doubt about that. But I kind of wanted to start with a giggle. And I don't run clips like this very often, but there was something about this that just hit me the right way. John Oliver over on Last Week Tonight ran a clip of Nitwit Nero talking to some farmers, because Nitwit Nero's been traveling lately too. He talked to some farmers, and then this weekend, lo and behold, he was in Oklahoma, Stan, watching the NCAA men's wrestling championships. Kind of disappointed in the NCAA for having the men's wrestling championship in Oklahoma, Stan, considering the right-wing hissy over drag shows and the like. I mean, do you think children were allowed in there to watch a bunch of smelly young men stick their faces in each other's crotches? What about the children? Just saying. I never got into wrestling for precisely that reason. I didn't ever want to have that happen to me. Just, ew. And they're dressed so scantily. I don't know. Sounds pretty groomy to me. But anyway, Nitwit Nero visited the wrestling championships, and as the guest of Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne, you got to say it that way because it's not Mark Wayne, two names. No, it's just one. I guess his parents couldn't make up their minds, so he's Mark Wayne Mullen, who apparently likes watching sweaty young men grapple and grasp each other. I don't know. But back to the farm. He addressed some farmers. And the degree to which this is stream of consciousness that would put either William Faulkner or James Joyce to shame. Jet the hockey puck, I think, just so you won't disturb anybody in the house or at the gym or wherever you're listening to this. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe, please. And leave a comment on whatever platform, Podbean, podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the TuneIn player, if you listen that way. Remember, we're trying to get up to 1,000 listeners. Push that heart button. It would be so, so very helpful.
And Trump claimed that he might get arrested next week. And if you are wondering how he is doing right now, don't worry, because in this video that he released directed toward farmers, it seems like he's doing great.
I made farmers happy and rich again, and they're doing a fantastic job. And you know what? Someday it'll become time for them to leave this beautiful earth, and they'll be able to leave their farm without taxes to their children. I got rid of the death tax on farms, so that when you do pass away, on the assumption that...
What's with the S's? When you do pass away... Has he been chatting with Sam the Studio Serpent? Well, better him than me. Imagine talking to a bunch of farmers and telling them about when they're going to die. You do you, boo.
You love your children. You can leave it to them and they won't have to pay tax. But if you don't love your children so much, and there are some people that don't, and maybe deservedly so.
Meanwhile, back at home, Nitwit Jr. looks at Eric the Dumber, and Eric the Dumber looks at Iwanka, and they all look at Tefania, and Tefania's like, what? And they all look at little Boron, and, well, You got to wonder which one he's talking about, or maybe all of them. Probably, I don't know. Remember when he said that
if one of the kids has to go to prison, it should definitely be Don Jr. Because Iwanka would never make it. But he's tough like his old man. So he would.
And then there's the fact that he put out the hate tweet saying,
"Everybody, I'm probably going to get arrested on Tuesday. I need you."
Yeah, I know the audio is bad. That's not on me. I can't help it. I've got it turned up to 11.
But I'm probably going to get arrested on Monday. Tuesday, definitely. And everybody needs to go out into the streets and protest.
Causing Alvin Bragg, the district attorney of Manhattan, to declare, "We will not sit still for the intimidation of our office, our lawyers, our staff." And now, over in maggot world, they're having a bit of an existential crisis, and we'll talk about that, over what to do. But there's only one problem here. He's not going to be arrested. Arrest is what happens when you don't turn yourself in. He's going to turn himself in, and I know probably the vast majority of the Horn Family Community Congregation is like, he'll never see the inside of a jail. But Lord God, the world has been waiting for this to one degree or another forever. To see this tired old sack of sin and waddling adipose pile of petty jealousies and grievances finally face the music. Well, it's kind of like Al Capone, really. God alone knows how many murders Al Capone was responsible for. But he went down for dodgy money crimes. Same here. Because thus far, this has nothing to do with any malfeasance in office and everything to do with having to pay off a porn star to keep it from going public. And using political money to do it. I mean,
if you like your kids.
To their children. I got rid of the death tax on farms so that when you do pass away, on the assumption that you love your children, you can leave it to them and they won't have to pay tax. But if you don't love your children so much, and there are some people that don't.
And there are some people who don't.
Deservedly so. It won't matter because, frankly, you don't have to leave him anything. Thank you very much. Have fun.
I mean, he's still got it. He has still got it. And by it, I mean whatever it is that is so deeply wrong with his brain. Do you know how much you have to hate your kids to get distracted by that thought in the middle of a political speech? We should have pulled out troops from the region sooner. Speaking of regretting not pulling out sooner, Don Jr. And then they shot that with two cameras. They cut something.
That's the best part.
And given what they kept in, I am dying to know what it was. And then to stick the landing at the end with "have fun," it's impeccable. It's all just impeccable.
John Oliver. There's none better. You know, HBO has John Oliver and Bill Maher. I could watch John Oliver all day and twice on Sunday. Bill Maher, eh. Now, Scott in San Diego, Iwanka would never make it. Are you effing kidding me? She's got the party shop keyed in on speed dial. The party shop, really? Okay, thanks for the travel help, Randy Radar. Take the PA Turnpike, I-76 East to I-276 East to I-295 Northeast to US 206 North into Princeton, New Jersey. Sounds easy enough. Thank you, Randy. Thank you so much. I'll study the route and then have No, I don't know. Google Maps, probably, because for some reason or another, Apple Maps is just not that reliable going once I get out of my comfort zone. Okay, that's good, Amelia. Mark Wayne, Polo. Mark Wayne, Polo. Didn't think about it that way, but that works. Stephen, New York, observed, Nitwit Nero's rambling. That sounded like first book of the Sound and Fury quality. Yes, yes. They were hitting. You know how we should do that sometime? We should get the Sound and the Fury, and we should read it in Trump voice. We should probably do the same with the opening paragraphs of James Joyce's Ulysses. Maybe Thomas Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow while we're at it. could be really, really good. Oh, I need to dig up my copy. I don't even know where my copy of Gravity's Rainbow is. And my copy of James Joyce's Ulysses is, you know, that's kind of like the Born to Run album of literature. You wind up buying it and buying it and buying it and buying it. Because when you loan it to somebody, nobody ever gives it back. I think it's because they're afraid you'll ask them about what happens on page 175, and they didn't make it that far. But still, it sounds like a worthwhile undertaking. As to college wrestling, Stephen New York says, I suspect we are going to hear at some point that Nitwit Nero expressed how Hulk Hogan was his favorite all-time wrestler. Really? Not Macho Man Randy Savage, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. My Macho Man Randy Savage is not very good. Where else, though? I mentioned that Maggot World is kind of in a quandary. Because some of Maggot World wants to take to the streets once Nitwit Nero has been photographed and printed. But the other half are going, it's a trap! And now they've created a neologism for their paranoia. They think it's a Fedsurrection. A Fedsurrection. Vice News reporting on the split. The headline, the far right is scared Trump's call to protest is a trap. And so, having said,
they're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. We must save America. Protest, protest, protest.
So, at the pro-Trump website that used to be known as The Donald, the maggots are hopping up and down excited. And furious. They're furious. They're talking about driving a convoy.
About a light of the moon on the 5th of June in a Kenworth hauling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs.
Yeah, they're going to have a convoy into Manhattan and snarl up traffic. Or they're calling for a nationwide maggot strike. Some are going so far as to call for violence. Some are calling for shooting at cops. I told you they were going to do it again. One maggot said,
I want to see heads being cut off, quartering Blood Eagle, you name it.
Because they're very upset that their orange god emperor, the demented circus peanut, hi, Scott, it might actually have to face up to some of the shit he's done The other problem, though, is that some maggots are afraid it's a trap. Because they believe that January 6th itself was a Fed surrection in which FBI agents orchestrated the terrorist attack of January 6th. And over at Alex Jones's InfoWars, some dude who was dropped on his head as a child, Paul Joseph Watson, did a poll of 1,850 users of Nitwit Nero's rickety-ass social media platform, Truth Social. Asking,
is the potential protest against Trump being arrested a J6-style trap?
And 85% of the denizens of Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, who live under bell jars there,
said, yeah!
A dude bro by the name of Greg Phillips, who runs True the Vote, who got sent to jail last November on contempt of court charges, said,
should you decide to protest the arrest of President Trump, be mindful of our brothers and sisters who have become victims of instigators. You will be arrested. They are already planning the assault on freedom of speech. Follow your own true north. If it seems odd, probably is a setup.
Yeah, Vice News notes that the Proud Boys have been fairly quiet. They did share a post from the dumbest man on the internet, the Gateway Pundit, who said that peaceful prayer protests are being organized for Nitwit Nero all over America. Other people circulated pictures of Ray Epps. Somehow or another, he became the center of the Fed surrection conspiracy.
If you see this man at a protest next week, do not follow him anywhere. Contact your local Proud Boy chapter and report his whereabouts.
That was from the Proud Boys in North Carolina. And then there was Ghost Ezra, a guy whose actual name is Robert Smart. I'd use Ghost Ezra, too. He's got 200,000 subscribers on the Muscovy platform, Telegram. And he said, he posted a picture of FBI agents. And,
the only ones will be out protesting for Trump this week.
And then, of course, Kevers, man of silly putty, the weaker Speaker McCarthy, is calling for calm and no protesting. And I don't care if it was photoshopped. I just love that word, Sporkfoot. Marginal trailer queen said, we don't need to protest about the communist Democrats planning to arrest President Trump and the political weaponization of our government and election interference. These idiots are sealing their own fate in 2024 because the silent majority has two feelings right now. She couldn't quite finish it all in one tweet. Fear and anger. That is the most powerful combination when election time comes, and the Democrats are driving that force with their own corrupt action. Yeah, Marge. Sure. So the paranoia is running like a swift-flowing stream. I don't guess there's anything that particularly surprising. Until we get to Santilli. Pete Santilli is a the right-wing maggot. I know, redundant. And Pete Santilli, from behind the walls of his bunker, or wherever, is openly calling for violent reaction to Nitwit Nero being charged with crimes for which he is very likely guilty as sin. Oh, what's that? Randy Radar says, joke's on them. Manhattan traffic is already snarled. Well played, Randy. Well played. Now, Pete Santilli wants there to be repercussions for charging Nitwit Nero with crimes that he almost certainly, beyond a reasonable doubt, committed.
Get the military, whatever few are left, that are going to side with the people that are standing there holding candles and banging pots and pans and expressing the will of the people. That you military personnel and you people with guns and badges and law enforcement will succumb to the will of the people. And ultimately, we absolutely demand that the criminals in this country, if you want them held accountable, the criminals are Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Susan Rice, all this entire criminal cabal that came about as a result of the murder of John F. Kennedy.
What? Huh? The entire criminal cabal that came about as a result of the murder. What? You know, we passed the 50th anniversary. Okay, math is hard. We passed the, what would it be, 55th anniversary of the murder of Bobby Kennedy recently. But, I mean, I think I know what Pete Santilli was trying to do. He called for the arrest of Barack Obama because Barack Obama isn't the president anymore, and he thinks that somehow that insulates him. And by using the word if, he thinks that further insulates him from threatening the life of a former president. And maybe it will insulate, you know, because of our fetishized approach to free speech. Funny how he doesn't really mention President Joseph R. Biden, huh?
Do you want them held accountable? The criminals are Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Susan Rice, all this entire criminal cabal that came about as a result of the murder of John F. Kennedy.
That pause there. This criminal cabal that came about as the result of beat, searching, working. The faked moon landing. I mean, fill in anything here. The breakup of the Beatles. Pick one. God, these people.
People that perpetrated the murder of John F. Kennedy, rise up to that. Military, join us.
Now, I know Scott in San Diego is our longtime, well-established assassination of JFK correspondent. And Scott, since I know you're listening right now because you emailed earlier, I hope you're okay. Round up the people who did JFK's murder? Pete, sweetie, they're dead. Yeah, it's not doing any good for Steve in New York either. Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Susan Rice. As I recall, each of these folks are melanin enhanced. You're not wrong. So very not wrong. Where's Kamala Harris? It doesn't even bring in Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. That's what you call a tell. Steve adds, don't tell the Trumpansies, but it's a cookbook. To serve man? Yeah, I get it. Pretty sure the Horn Family Community Congregation does, too. It's a trap, Steve says. Keep this on the down low, but the orders have come down from Antifa HQ to organize fake protests to round up and trap Trumpansies, but HQ has told us that we have to continue to let them roam, but just in a confined space. See, one of the things that got them all worked up was the fact that metal barricades, you know, the same kinds that they breached on January 6th, metal barricades have been seen being unloaded outside government buildings in downtown Manhattan. How'd that work out January 6th, those metal barricades? Back to Pete Santilli.
And put all of them up against the concrete.
This is where it gets really good. Or bad, depending on how you look at it. I find it horrifying.
As a result of the murder of John F. Kennedy, the people that perpetrated the murder of John F. Kennedy, rise up to that. Military, join us and put all of them up against the concrete wall, just like Ceausescu, and do what we must do to save not just our country, the entire world. Get the military.
Yeah, the entire world. By murdering brown people. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. Not see at all. Do you think the FBI even bothers to visit the likes of Pete Santilli? Or do they just say, you know, I mean, that's just how they are. That's their stock and trade. That's how it works. That's their shtick. That's their jam. No need to bother with them. You think? Because I'm beginning to think they don't. Because on the other hand, if I was to say, for instance, see, I'm using the if here. If I was to say, for instance, that I hope the NYPD is armed to the teeth and has live ammo ready, and if anybody tries to breach anything, start blowing away maggots. If I was to say that, well, it would be at complete variance with my commitment to the principles of nonviolence. But then again, this is America, and I'm not aware of any commitment to nonviolence on the part of police forces in this country. Lord knows, it might actually be nice to have. But in the case of people like Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Philando Castile, too many to name. Yeah, you can't exactly say that the cops are nonviolent. But we do know that during the terrorist attack of January 6, 2021, they had to hold their fire. It I guess they were afraid that they were going to have another Kent State on their hands, although the Kent State protesters were peaceful. Isn't it funny how the peaceful people are always the ones that get gunned down? But you can... And you know, cops usually don't take kindly to people killing cops. But there we see the intersectionality of the affinity between the right wing and law enforcement in this country. I hope something like that doesn't happen, but then again, we're talking about the maggots, and insofar as January 6th has gone largely unpunished, and an unpunished, unsuccessful insurrection is a rehearsal? Well, it's going to be interesting to see what tomorrow or Wednesday brings. Because that's the current timeline, tomorrow or Wednesday. Meanwhile, today, according to a report from CNN, it has gotten entirely out of hand, actually chaos, in the trial of the Oath Keepers, the six Oath Keepers who are on trial for seditious conspiracy. Somehow or another, two of the jurors got access to a pair of video clips that District Judge Amit Mehta had said could not be shown to the jury. One of the video clips was of the terrorists breaching the U.S. Capitol to the west. And another clip showed terrorists attacking police trying to close a gate. And then defense counsel moved for a mistrial. Judge Mehta said, I just can't believe the only remedy at this point is a mistrial. Maybe I'm wrong. Pettifogger for the defense, Julie Holler, got into it with Judge Mehta. And the judge then pointed out that, well, y'all, speaking to defense counsel, y'all were allowed to review the exhibits that were given to the jurors, and you signed off on them. None of the defense lawyers did what I instructed. Everybody had at least a weekend to ask for what had been sent back and review it. Defense did not do it. Defense counsel did not do it. That's fine. Then, using the remedy that trial court judges quite often do with a jury, Judge Mehta said, I'm not going to ask you if you've reviewed them. If you haven't reviewed them, I'm going to ask you to ignore them. If you have, please disregard. This is another case of that old legal maxim. When you have the facts, pound on the facts. When you have the law, pound on the law. And when you have neither, pound on the table. Sounds like there was some serious table pounding that went on in that trial court today. So defense counsel moved for a mistrial because of their own negligence. And I mention all that in conjunction with the fact that Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers are presently having a conniption, different conniption, over what's going on down in Georgia. namely the grand jury investigation being headed up by Fannie Willis. They want her. They want her involuntarily recused. And the reason they're having a shit hemorrhage is because Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, word has it, is considering RICO charges against Julius Geezer. Talking about an entirely different case last year, Fannie Willis said, "The reason that I'm a fan of RICO is I think jurors are very, very intelligent. They want to know what happened. They want to make an accurate decision about someone's life. And so RICO is a tool that allows a prosecutor's office and law enforcement to tell the whole story." With CNN going on to say, "Investigators have a large volume of substantial evidence related to possible conspiracy from inside and outside the state, including recordings of phone calls." You know, there's three of them now of him trying to dummy up the election in Georgia. "Emails, text messages, documents, and testimony before a special grand jury. Their work," the source said, "underscores the belief that the push to help Trump was not just a grassroots effort that originated inside the state." And RICO has more teeth than the charges that might possibly be brought against Nitwit Nero for the Stormy Daniels payoff. The motion that the Nitwit Nero pettifoggers filed this morning in Fulton County was a 483-page pile of shit. They want to block any report from the Fulton County Special Grand Jury. They want any evidence the grand jury may find blocked. And they want to force Fannie Willis to recuse herself in the investigation. Over at Lawfare, Anna Bauer referred to it as a mammoth filing. Good, throw it in a tar pit. Hopefully that's exactly what the judge will do. Jim Jacketoff Jordan is apparently quite nervous. Because, of course, he's up to his Jacketoff neck in the January 6th terrorist attack. Today, he said he wants to drag Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg to testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee, which he chairs, about his seemingly pending indictment of Donald Trump. And by the way, maybe I'm just completely at sea on this one, but I have yet to figure out, because I've seen a lot of people saying, it'll probably be a misdemeanor in Manhattan. Misdemeanor in Manhattan. That sounds like something that, you know, would have been put on during like, you know, the 30s on Broadway. Manhattan misdemeanor. Ah, honey, you're the best. Ah, you're the bee's knees. Yeah, you're the cat's pajamas. Never mind. My mind. And Steve, if you wouldn't mind, help out here a little, please. I'm under the understanding that a person can be charged with a misdemeanor in the state of New York with no grand jury action whatsoever. That that's simply a matter of filing a criminal complaint. Grand juries are expensive and time-consuming, especially this one. So, why would you go to the trouble of issuing an indictment for something that you could just file as a misdemeanor? Because I got nothing. Over on MSNBC, Joyce Vance was having none of Jacket Off Jordan's shenanigans, asking, what jurisdiction does Congress have over a DA elected by Manhattanites? Sure, Jordan will talk about federal funding, but this is purely a political attack on local government. Jim Jacket Off Jordan sent a letter to Alvin Bragg saying, in light of the serious consequences of your actions, we expect that you will testify about what plainly appears to be a politically motivated prosecutorial decision. I'm pretty sure that Alvin Bragg went to a much better law school than Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And I'm pretty sure he's a hell of a lot better trial lawyer than Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And a politically motivated prosecutorial decision, well, that's pure opinion and speculation. So Alvin Bragg is completely within his rights to fold it into a paper airplane, send it back to Jim Jordan, and say, fly this right up your ass. Over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, they said, Jordan warned Bragg that if news reports of a possible Trump indictment are accurate, Bragg's actions will erode confidence in the even-handed application of justice and unalterably interfere in the court of the 2024 presidential election. Well, do please fuck right off, Fox News. Because, see, the funny thing about that statement, erode confidence in the even-handed application of justice? Well, the only way that there's an even-handed application of justice in maggot world is for Nitwit Nero to continue to skate like the way he has for the entirety of his miserable, misbegotten, misanthropic, best part of him ran down his mama's leg life. So, well, remember, Jim Jacket Off Jordan engaged in conversations with Nitwit Nero about, yeah, a pardon. And of course, because he was showing up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda this morning, Jim Jacket Off Jordan told Harris Faulkner, Fox News, etc., that the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels was some alleged bookkeeping error. Now they've come after him for some alleged bookkeeping error? You've got to be kidding me! With Harris Faulkner agreeing, actually paying off Stormy Daniels' hush money, as we would call it, is not illegal in the state of New York. We shall see. Meanwhile, Darlene in Connecticut says, not a misdemeanor in Manhattan. The Manhattan DA found enough criming or broke the code to make it into a felony. It may all center around intent, I think. Well, I'm glad that the misdemeanor talk is at an end. The felony makes it Well, I don't know how it ever wasn't. Thank you, Darlene. Meanwhile, Bernadette says, going back to the idea that they're going to have a national strike, Bernadette says, so if the maggots go on strike, does that mean there will be less flies on this shit? Asking for a friend. Oh, and Pete Santilli needs to go back down Santilli Lane.
Santilli Lane, and he's quite insane.
Loco much? Asked Bernadette. Oh, thanks for that reminder.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
Don't tweak my old DJ brain. Don't do that. But they're going out of their tiny little maggot mines, all over maggot land. And we talked on the program last week about Ron Monkey Up DeClantis and whether he could or could not block the extradition of Nitwit Nero. And no, he can't. But he went on to say, Monkey Up did, that he wouldn't stand in the way of extradition. Now, I observed over the weekend that Ron Monkey Up DeClantis makes it abundantly obvious that Harvard has a an affirmative action program for dipshits because, well, they let Monkey Up in. And we discussed last week as to whether it would be to Monkey Up's advantage to let him flap in the breeze or try to do something to help. And then Monkey Up removed all doubt. This did not play at all well with the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts.
With, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that.
Whew. Yeah. That's a little meow.
But what
okay,
I can speak
okay,
to.
Okay, that's not an acceptable, that's just not an acceptable response. John Fredericks, give me 2 minutes on that, brother.
This is one of the most unbelievable, feckless, weasel, consultant-driven responses in a crisis you've ever heard. Look, here's the bottom line, Steve. Trying times are going to define men and women.
Wait a minute. I try never to miss an opportunity to cite to a Supertramp album. A crisis? What crisis?
And Ron DeSantis has hid for 72 hours since this thing broke. Finally, the pressure, his consultants are telling him, hey, your poll numbers are dropping, you got to make a statement. Look, he's got to choose. He got to choose between the gangster banksters in Wall Street, the big time hedge funders that are funding his campaign, the open borders Koch brothers crowd. He's got to choose between them or us. There's no middle here. This is zero sum game. Finally, under pressure, he comes out. And what does he say? He says a bunch of weasel hobbledygob words that what does it even mean? Oh, he's Soros funded. Oh, this is a political circus. Oh, what about the fact that the former president of the United States is being arraigned, indicted, and arrested on charges that don't make any sense on basically a string of misdemeanors strung together? And here's what he doesn't get.
Yeah.
It's not about Trump. It's about us, Steve.
Yeah.
Because today they do it to President Trump. Tomorrow they do it to Steve Bannon.
Yeah, tomorrow they did. No, they did that last year to Steve Bannon, only they were just Steve Bannon flaunted a congressional subpoena and got tried and found guilty and still isn't in jail. Did you catch the little hitch in this maggot dweeb's delivery? Wasn't quite sure whether to say that they do, because that's the talking point. whether it's Nitwit Jr. or Jacket Off Jordan, any of these fools, you know, if they can do it to President Trump, they can do it to you. Well, you know, maggot, tell me the next time you pay off a porn star to keep her quiet and use your political slush fund to do that. Please.
States is being arraigned, indicted, and arrested on charges that don't make any sense, on basically a string of misdemeanors strung together. And here's what he doesn't get.
Yeah.
It's not about Trump. It's about us, Steve.
Yeah.
Because today they do it to President Trump. Tomorrow they do it to Steve Bannon. Wednesday they do it to me. And Thursday they do it to DeSantis.
Yeah.
He's a total weasel.
No, it's
he gets us, Trump.
Came out here. He said nothing.
Robert Barnes has put a DeSantis statement today, ruined by trying to take both sides. This politician approach is not what made him popular. John Fredericks, thank you very much. Look forward to maybe having you on this afternoon. I know you got a lot of thoughts on this. And see you in East Palestine, Ohio. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Brother.
Yeah. See you in East Palestine. Please huff all the toxic chemicals there, Stevie Three Shirts.
Want to make sure we get everything up with John and all his coordinates. Fredericks did a great job on his show this morning in outlining this. And Governor DeSantis, you're better than this. That was a weasel approach. And don't throw in a thing about the porn star. I don't need to hear it from you, okay? Don't need to hear it, okay? Mike Lindell, the Election Crime Bureau report, sir.
Well,
of course, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells would say that, because remember, his entire goal is to string out his criminal conviction until Nitwit Nero can get back in office and pardon him again. Don't think for a minute that conversation hasn't been had. But if that guy was fun, well, Mr. Meth Pillow, you know he's going to be even better.
Approach and don't give me the don't throw in a thing about the porn star. I don't need to hear it from you, okay? Don't need to hear it, okay? Mike Lindell, the Election Crime Bureau report, sir.
Well, first of all, DeSantis is the Trojan horse we thought he was. I just want to put that out there, how disgusting he is. He met with Dominion lawyers on figuring out a way to make it easier to sue people for defamation like MyPillow and Mike Lindell. If they arrest our great President Donald Trump, hands down, he'd...
Yeah, wait, hold on. Dominion Voting Systems is suing his pillow? I had no idea the court had such broad jurisdiction. He never quit.
He wins the 2024 election. The people, Steve, have his back. And like John just said, this is about us. It's happened to me. They went after me. The FBI's went up. They've weaponized all these, everything against us. And it is disgusting. But, you know.
Isn't it just delightful hearing criminal conspirators complain about being charged with being criminal conspirators or investigated for being criminal conspirators? Last I checked, that's one of those statutes on the books that the FBI can investigate. I don't know.
You know, the evil is greedy, and this will backfire on him just like everything else does.
Yeah, well, evil is greedy? I thought greed was evil. No. He's a Republican. Greed is good. Meanwhile, there's been an administrative change in the oversight of the ongoing investigation in D.C. by a grand jury. A new chief judge of the Federal District Court of Washington, D.C. will be sworn in this Friday. And that new chief judge will oversee the grand jury issues and have jurisdiction over sealed disputes that have bubbled up to the surface relating to Nitwit Nero. The judge in question is James Jeb Boasberg. He's a Barack Obama appointee, and he will be replacing Beryl Howell, who is stepping down. I mean, it's not a retirement. The chief judgeship rotates every 7 years. And so this is the judge who will oversee the investigation of, by Jack Smith of the classified documents fiasco, in which Nitwit Nero tried to hide documents in his Bible. It was probably upside down. And among other things, right of late, there are ongoing investigations under seal about securing more grand jury testimony from a pettifogger named M. Evan Corcoran. M. Evan Corcoran was the lawyer who drafted the statement that a diligent search for classified documents was undertaken at Mar-a-Lago and turned out to be a, well, bald-faced lie. And Corcoran has been invoking attorney-client privilege thus far. But Jack Smith's team says, you know, there's an exception. Lawyers cannot actively engage in a criminal enterprise with their client and then plead attorney-client privilege to shield themselves from evidence of the crime. Another thing that may come before Judge Boasberg is the issue of Mike Pencilneck Geek, who claims that because he was serving as president of the Senate on January the 6th, 2021, he's covered by the speech and debate clause. Sounds loopy to me, but stranger things have happened. Ralph said, I'm guessing Michael Cohen would take issue with the Trump misdemeanor. I'd say so, too. Considering Nitwit Nero's size, do they make ankle monitors that big? Not saying, just saying. I'm sorry, Jeremy. Jeremy says, I feel dumber every time I hear Mike Lindell breathe the same air we all do, let alone one of his meth pipe theories. Put down the pipe, Mr. Meth Pillow. Put down the pipe. Oh, and I did. I talked right past the beginning of spring. It's here. Yay. How's the sap, Scott? Thank you. Bernadette says, for the last hour of Robin's Comedy Hour, it's the first day of spring, happy spring, and I have thoroughly enjoyed all the MAGA comedy bits you've been playing today. I haven't laughed this hard since before March 2020. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bernadette. That's awfully sweet. Sometimes it's just the luck of the luck of the draw, you know, the way the cards fall. And I knew coming into today with what went on over the weekend, it's like, oh, this is going to be zany. Darlene says, thank you for your excellent service, Judge Beryl Howell. Her replacement is anticipated to not rock the Howell boat too much. The DOJ vis-a-vis Jack Smith was batting at 100,000 with Howell, so they were rushing through a lot of extra subpoenas, motions, and so forth before she rotated out. Yes, Darlene, yes. Not just yes to that, but Darlene says, happy spring, Robin. Yippee! I know. I'm not. Never mind the sap. I feel a little lighter. I feel a little more alive. Just knowing that winter is gone and dead, and sweet Persephone can come back up from the underworld after her miserable time with Hades, that little shitbird. It is Persephone, isn't it? I've got my mythology correct. I've been kind of delving into Greek mythology a little bit lately because I borrowed a book through Amazon Prime and Kindle just on a lark. I love the books of Mary Renault, The King Must Die, you know, humanizing the Theseus myth. And I cannot remember this author's name off the top of my head, but I highly recommend it. It's called The Song of Achilles. And it covers the youth and adulthood and relationship between Patroclus and Achilles. And it's pretty doggone faithful to the Iliad and an absolutely beautiful story. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you can borrow it. You can probably borrow it for free. I started reading it and I couldn't put it down. It was just so good. And as compared, you know, the movie Troy, where Brad Pitt was terribly, terribly cute in that little short skirt. It's a different Achilles that emerges here. An Achilles who, by the 10th year of the Trojan War, is all of 27 years old. Which makes sense. And in which he is, in fact, Aristos Achaean. My Greek is really weak. My Greek is weak. These things happen. But if you like historical fiction and you like that particular time, it's really good. And the way the author lays out it, she is faithful to what an absolute dickhead Agamemnon was. She does a really good job with the Briseis story and with the sulking of Achilles. It's just a darn good yarn. And I'm eager to see what else she's written. I think there's another novel called Circe, which I would be interested in. Checking out. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I mean, I trust we all know how the Iliad ends. But I assume nothing. So, if you're looking for something to read and that appeals to you, give it a try. I think you'll like it. And it's all told from the point of view of Patroclus, which I think is neat. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago, by the way, we are well into the second hour of the program. There's still a $25 Kayla peeking through the Kayla behind the blinds looking out the window challenge on the table, courtesy of Ralph's. We are in an 800, our fundraising hole is $855 and need to get that and the entire week up to Friday raised. You know, there's no fundraising goal for Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, unless I'm here Thursday. So if we could please get started and not disappoint Ralphs, that would be wonderful. Pretty please. So you heard Jim Jacket Off Jordan. You didn't hear, but I tell you know his line. It was a bookkeeping error, the Stormy Daniels payoff, I tell you. Bookkeeping error. Well, enter little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby, Stephen Herr Goebbels Miller, who is now defending his God Emperor's payoff to Stormy Daniels, as, well, let's let him do it.
You're going to take it seriously. Under this theory, if a candidate is running for office and and there's a dispute over, say, alimony with his ex-wife, and the ex-wife requests a different amount of alimony based on, you know.
And just so we know all the players here, the guy going, that's freakishly large-headed Charlie Kirk. Sorry, I'm in an Iliad mode. And if you've ever read the Iliad, you know, swift-footed Achilles or proud and stubborn Agamemnon. Freakishly large-headed Charlie Kirk.
You know, years-long disputes, whatever. That the candidate would be legally obliged to transfer all the alimony payments over to his campaign. And from now on, his wife will get all of her alimony payments from his election campaign. But to not do that would be a crime. That if you tried to pay alimony with your...
Have Stephen Miller's testicles dropped? Because it doesn't sound like they have. And I'm already kind of lost.
Personal funds, you're a criminal. What kind of criminal pays alimony out of their own pocket? Obviously, that's what campaigns are for. That is what this would mean if it was taken seriously. But again, the whole point is that they are Marxists and the truth is nothing to them.
The point is they're Marxists and the truth means nothing. I can't wait to see that argued before a jury. No, it's just alimony. That's what it was. No, you got to be married before you owe anybody alimony, or at least in some sort of a long-term relationship before you owe anybody palimony.
On the phone, Stephen Miller, America First Legal.
I give them credit. I do. I give them credit for their manifest talent for flinging shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. Annette and I were watching little reels, shorts the other day, and I think I saw the funniest one I've seen yet. There was a squirrel, and it was on a central AC unit, and the fan was blowing. And in my world, I need this not to be any kind of manipulated video. Because the fan has the squirrel's tail blown up, and the squirrel takes a shit. And the fan blows the squirrel poo up in the air, and off in the distance, there's another squirrel. It's like 3, 2, 1, and plop, right on its head. I need to live in a world where someone was recorded for their patience in videoing the squirrel on the air conditioning unit by capturing that. Annette and I, because that's the way it is with the damn reels. They're so short, you can just sit there and let them play over and over and over again. And if it's a really good one, you get to just keep laughing as though you're watching it for the first time. Probably find it if you look around, you know, squirrel pooping on air conditioner. But we couldn't look away. But the other thing that we're also deeply, deeply sunk into now are, you know, otter videos. God, I love otters. Theo knows this. Otters are just... There are worse things in the world than to come back as an otter. I don't know if anybody out there going, you know, they're tasty. There's a really, really, really weird film out there that I watched called The Lobster. And it's about people who, if they are unsuccessful in love, have to be turned into an animal. And they have to choose what kind of animal they want to be turned into. And when I say weird, I mean, it was weird to watch for me. Which means it's probably 1,000 times weirder than anything. I'm not recommending that one. No. But do look up the squirrel video. I'm sorry, I got diverted there because I don't know. There's something about Stephen Miller that reminds me of some kind of rodent. I have a feeling that's... Let me check. Let's see. Hold on. Yeah, that's the one. That's... Here it comes. There it goes. And... Zoop! Bingo! God, I love that. And stand by. And enjoy it, Ralphs. Enjoy it. Subject line long. Jeremy in Vermont says, "We know there was nothing long between the orange defendant and Ms. Daniels. Quite possibly a Mario mushroom was involved, though." Yes. Yeah. I thought I'd tuck that away on a piece of brain cell that... Help me out here, Stephen New York says, "I heard tell today that George Soros put Alvin Bragg in office. Alvin Bragg is a Marxist. I thought Soros was a fascist Nazi collaborator." Listen, Steve, in the mind of a maggot, many things can be true at the same time. That's all I'm going to say. And we've already heard Monkey Ups take down a nitwit Nero. With Monkey Ups saying, "We're not going to be involved in it in any way. I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over an alleged affair. I can't speak to that." Yeah, probably because there's not a woman alive out there that would have an affair with him. I mean, what does it say when your wife has to buy you cowboy boots to burnish your masculinity? Ugh. All right, let's, we're at the halfway point of the program. Let's run over and check in with Scott, whom I have conjured several times during the program. Hey, Scott.
Oh, the sap.
Leave the sap out of this.
Where's my oaken bucket? It's running over. My God, I feel like Mrs. Butterworth on a frantic day.
No, I'm Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're Frangelico.
Frangelico. Hey, here's the deal with Stephen Miller.
That's the only two things that I know of that come in an anthropomorphic bottle.
I think you're right. This Stephen Miller creature always...
You're generous, creature.
Always reminded me of the before picture at the Hair Club for Men ads. You know, some sorry-looking
spray on hair.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of strands combed over. My God. How the hell are you, Robin?
Oh, it was a great weekend. I was actually kind of looking forward to airtime. Of course, I most always am.
Now, I missed the first few minutes of the program. What is your, when do you travel?
I will be here tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday hit the road.
Okay.
And then I'm back either Thursday or Friday, depending on what time I get home.
Yeah, now don't
and
do
how worn I how worn out I am from driving.
Don't do what I did. My one and only road trip back in, God, 84, I think it was, from Kansas City back to D.C. and then north into New England, stopping along the way wherever I knew people. But coming back, I'm not the greatest navigator. And the whole idea was to head back to D.C. for some reason and then go west to Kansas City again. But somehow or another, I must have missed a sign, because before I knew it, I'm going through New Jersey thinking I'm pretty near to the next state down. And the next thing I know, I see a sign, welcome to Cape May, New Jersey. Jesus.
I'm at the beach.
Yeah, pretty much Cape May, my one and only trip there. And it wasn't much, I want to tell you. Jesus. But anyway, I just don't... I don't know what to, I'm kind of sitting on pins and needles for whatever happens tomorrow. And I hope to God something happens tomorrow to get this.
Well, it's already tomorrow or Wednesday.
Well, now they're hedging it. Well, I hope something happens in the next 24 to 48 hours, because I think it's high time that things got underway. There's been enough time for prep work. Hell, if you haven't built a case by now, you're never going to build it. But what do I know? I'm not even a lawyer. I don't even play one on television. So I am so sick of, you know, it makes one want to, you know, open the actuarial tables to whatever relevant page is involved and light a candle and say a prayer, you know, that nature would just in the ordinary way take its course to be well rid of this fool. Yeah, there's always the chance that in one of these venues he's going to be tried and convicted.
Are you going the creeps each day in its petty pace Shakespearean route?
I don't know it, but you're probably...
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps each day into its petty pace.
Yeah.
Unto a grim and dusky death.
And
Something like that.
Doesn't this feel as if it has gone on forever? It's like junior high school.
Well, parts of it have. I was... what? Let me see. When this shit happened, I was barely into my 50s. And I just turned 60.
When you say this shit, I mean, you've got to...
The Stormy Daniels stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
I was only 3 years into my 50s when Nitwit Nero was elected. Which is kind of mind-boggling to me.
Well, it is. When you look back and you're tracing along the timeline... And it takes you a while to mark the route back to, like, normalcy, the other time. What do they call that, the before time or whatever?
Yes.
You know, between Trump and COVID, now there's your double whammy right there. You know? The run-up to the election in 2016, which was bad enough, and then the outcome of the election... And then the four long years, which seemed more like eight, and then the 2020 election, how fraught that was. I mean, it wasn't a done deal. We forget that. It could have gone any number of ways, okay? And then January 6th, and then you finally get Biden sworn in, and then you've got your COVID going on, you've got everything else going on, you've got the economic build back, you know, coming about. And it's like, when will this ever end? It's like, where have all the flowers gone? When will we ever learn?
Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
Yeah, that too. And they want to do it over again in the next year. It's like, God damn, what's wrong with you people? Get a hobby. Keep bees. Collect stamps.
Keep, wait, did you say keep bees?
Yeah, I mean, be a beekeeper.
Needlepoint, for fuck's sake.
Yes, God bless this happy home or something. I mean, you know, to do a lovely cross-stitch when in doubt mumble. I don't get it yet.
Oh, you! Oh, the weekend was good for you.
When
in doubt mumble.
God,
I want to buy your tapestry of the monkey with the visor.
I've had it, Robin. I'm telling you. I've snapped.
I'm done. You're like Daniel Day-Lewis at the end of No Country for Old Men. Yeah, No. There will be blood. Done now.
Yeah.
Done now.
Yeah. It's like my cheese has slid off my cracker. I've had enough. I don't even think
a proper regrooving would help at this point.
I think Popeye put it best. That's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. You know, and then he smokes his spinach, right? Which is probably not a bad idea at this juncture.
Use a little spinach.
Yeah. Olive oil gets your rangy little, well, never mind.
Don't go there.
I'm just telling you that it's no wonder. And by the way, I brought my mop and my bucket for today's call because I was thinking back to our last encounter on Friday's program, and I think I was somewhat out of line. I don't need to be haranguing you, and I can only say that I was not at my best.
I don't feel harangued. I didn't feel harangued.
Well, I felt that I was being just a little fucking edgy and preachy and ranty and grumpy.
You're allowed?
Oh, well, you know, I don't like to be that way. You know me.
You're not that guy.
Okay, well, I appreciate your saying that. But I brought the mop in the bucket. Just if anything needed cleaning up, I was ready to.
You're good. You're good.
Well, thank you. You're a kind soul. God, now I'm channeling my inner droopy.
Yeah. But I did. I knew I was conjuring you when Pete Santilli got to the part of, if they arrest Trump, you have to murder Barack Obama to get at the people who killed JFK.
Well, I don't know much about anything, really, about this guy. Who does he think killed JFK?
Well, he didn't make that clear now, did he?
Well, certainly he's got, if he referenced it, certainly he's got at least a theory, some cockeyed chunk of petrified doo-doo.
What's more, remember, there are people on his side on his side of the debate who think that JFK and JFK Jr. are entirely alive, and that they're playing in a Elvis tribute band or something.
No, the big theory back in I guess the 70s, whenever Jackie and Onassis were together, was that Onassis had Jack. I don't know about Bobby, and JFK Jr. was still around because he was just a kid. Had him on an island where they were getting great medical care in their comatose state or brain dead state or whatever state they were in. And I'm thinking, well, all right, I guess if you want to believe that.
What, along with Walt Disney's noggin?
No, Disney on Ice. Every spring or every winter, they have the Disney on Ice comes to town. And I went, and it's Walt on a big fucking cake of ice. You know, they wanted $17.50 for children.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the big frozen whale came in got hauled up in a trailer to the Seven Point Shopping Center when I was a little kid.
Oh no!
See the dead frozen whale.
Oh.
They took me. My parents took me.
Did they like treat it in some way to keep?
No. You could that trailer had been all over the South. I don't know how they kept it cold.
Oh dear.
And you could, you know, Florence sits on the north side of the Tennessee River, and Sheffield, Muscle Shoals, and Tuscumbia are on the south side of the Tennessee River. And I swear to God, you could smell that whale from Russellville, which is even further south.
Yeah. There's something that they used to do in my old neighborhood when I was a kid. It had something to do with the landscaping of the medians. Maybe it was some liquid fertilizer that they sprayed every spring. And God, you knew when spring was. You talk about the first day of spring. It was a traumatic thing in my youth because the city crew would come with their trucks and their spraying devices. And I'm thinking, well, spring is here. Yippee. You know? Geez. Oh, horrible, horrendous. But the whale was probably worse, I'm thinking. I got to think.
All I know is I remember as a child thinking, wait, people eat that? It was It was horrible. It was horrible.
Blubber. They don't eat it in that condition, I would hope.
Okay, you have the right sense of humor for this, so I'm going to share this. This came from Reverbo the Human Man. This is what I think when someone asks you what you've been doing. Just tell them, ant farmer. Ain't much different than waiting for them helium-filled pants, is it?
Ant farming, yeah.
Just ant farming. What did you do this weekend, Robin? Ant farming.
Oh, yeah, we're plowing the South 40 down at the ant farm. That's now, isn't it true that they have restrictions on that now? If you want to breed them, the queen is sold separately?
Well, I don't think they're allowed to be sold in places like Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, and Idaho.
Well, I don't know. I've never had an ant farm.
I'm going to use that, though, Reverbo. What have you been doing, Ron? Ant farming.
Yeah, I like to see that.
That just struck me as funny.
I like to see the tractor. Little ant sitting with a...
Green Acres is the place for me.
Living is the life. Yeah, I could go for some Elisa's hot cakes. I like the way they
need to blunt your teeth a little bit, do you?
Oh, yeah. I got my air mattress that sprung a leak, and I need to...
Patch it. So I am planning for the... I am planning for the D.C. part of the trip. Like I said, it's been almost 4 years since 3.5 years since I've been there. And I confess I'm looking forward to going to Fogo de Chão for dinner one evening and just meat. Just filet mignon, picanha. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it if Flavio's listening. Oh, it's so good. It's just so damn good. And the best salad bar on earth, but, you know, that the salad bar is there as a diversion. And anytime I take somebody there for the first time, I'm like, the salad bar is beautiful. It's gorgeous. You're going to love it. Stay away from it because this is about the meat. Ferg's been to Fogo de Chão.
I literally busted every stitch from wisdom teeth removal to eat steak there.
Oh, dear.
He's not lying.
I bled from my mouth for 2 days over parmesan.
Okay, it's the dinner hour in the Central Daylight Time Zone.
Yeah, but I'm getting a sense of just how intense the experience was. I mean, geez. Now, when it comes to travel, whether it's for work or whatever, are you able to key into the pleasant, relaxing, enjoyable aspects of travel? It's not like a chore?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I tell that Australian girl in my phone to start playing music, and hopefully the car has a good stereo. Or sometimes I miss Annette something terrible. You know, she's my bestie. And sometimes we talk for hundreds of miles on end.
The reason I bring it up is that's probably what you need. You, like the rest of us, have been out of the routine. I don't know. I can't remember how often you used to go, to do the work. back in our nation's capital. But it was part of your routine, part of your ritual, part of who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
But with, you know, between COVID and everything else, we've all been knocked out of our orbits just ever so much.
Yeah.
And there's no fun in that. We human beings are, we have that predictable thing that we need to have from, you know, at least on a touch point sort of basis. And that could be why so many people have gotten so cranky and awful over the past few years. We had 4 years of non-normalcy with Trump in office. And then we've had however long the COVID thing, like 3 years worth going into the third year. And we're not wired to dance gracefully with that shit. I mean, that's my
theory. No, I think it did screw with our heads. And that's why, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it. There's a couple of stories that I want to get to in the stack today, if you don't mind me doing it on your dime.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Via Time Magazine, headline, deadly fungal infections in U.S. hospitals are up 95%.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody who has watched The Last of Us, that's a little creepy. Because The Last of Us begins, no spoilers, with like a video clip from the 1960s where the interviewer on like some British television show, public affairs, you know, BBC kind of thing, is asking one expert about, you know, what happens if a really bad virus gets loose. And, oh, well, you know, it'd be terrible. And the other scientist says, and he's shaking his head or whatever, and the presenter says, I see you're shaking your head. What you don't take this seriously? I said, not at all. What are you worried about? He says, fungi. Which, of course, reminds me about, Mushroom walks into a bar. And the bartender says, get out. We don't serve people like you. And the Mushroom looks at him and says, why not? I'm a fungi.
Ooh.
I know. I'm not responsible for what happens in my head.
Well, that's all right.
And, Candida auris infections are, as reported by U.S. healthcare facilities, rose by 95% in 2021. And it is deadly. It is treatment resistant. And it's breaking out in healthcare facilities all around the country. The report is in the March 21st Annals of Internal Medicine. And they've been going up and up and up and up. Infections recorded in a total of 28 states and, yay, the District of Columbia. And under-reporting or burying the lead, Time Magazine says, current disinfection and safety measures at care facilities may not be sufficient. And they say it's not much of a threat to healthy people, but that's generally not who's in hospitals.
Right, and plus the fact that there are so many people who really are not healthy and not that they have something wrong with them major illness-wise, but it's the chronic conditions.
Yeah, and if you get it in the hospital, the mortality rate's around 30%.
Yeah. You know, and then another layer on top of that, Robin, is the fact that you've got doctors and nurses who are like suffering from shell shock and battle fatigue over the last 2 years dealing with COVID. And now there's some new thing that they've got to deal with, and they're not at their best.
Right. And the thing is, you can screen for it before as a patient is entering the hospital, but there's no requirement that we screen for it. And now we're living in 2023. Where 33% of the population says, you can't screen me. You're not the boss of me. I ain't got no candida auris infection. Give me the horse paste.
Yeah. Jesus. I just, and maybe that's the, and I hate to wish ill upon, and I'm not really wishing ill upon anybody, but a lot of people who are going to be victims of whatever the latest thing is are going to be these people who are just not conscious enough or sharp enough or something enough to look out for their own well-being and that of those around them. And unfortunately, they're going to be the statistics. I say unfortunately on one hand, but then again, that, you know, I like the ratio the way it is now. There are more of us than there are of them. And if a few of them have to die at their own insistence, and that's really what it is, if you're not behaving appropriately and responsibly, then you're insisting upon a bad outcome, or at least suggesting that you're okay with that. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. Yeah.
So I'm not at the point where I'm saying, well, fuck them. I mean, if they're not bright enough to take care of themselves, then let's wave bye-bye as they go away in the car, you know? So,
the long, black, station wagon-y-looking car.
Oh, yeah, yes, indeed. I just...
Well, I must say that you sound much more chipper tonight.
Well,
this afternoon.
I am feeling, you know what it is? It's that goddamn V8 juice. I have been drinking more V8 cocktail vegetable juice.
I favor the hot and spicy with a couple of saltines.
Well, no, normally I could probably do it, but with what I'm dealing with.
I know.
It's enough that there's tomato.
It's curious how much fiber there's in a little tiny mini can of V8.
Well, I'm getting like the 64-ounce jugs of this stuff, and I'm chug-a-lugging.
You're just mainlining.
Well, not quite mainlining, but a couple of glasses a couple of times a day, and it's like I'm sure it's packed with vitamins and all the essential juices and stuff, but I've not been able to really eat effectively. It's almost like I've become a picky eater, but I haven't become a picky eater. It's just that my body is telling me to just calm down with the food, let your body, because the body works in the process of digestion and metabolizing and stuff, doesn't it? I'm not a botanist, but a biologist or a whatever of science that is. But sometimes that's the whole point of fasting, in a sense, is to give your body opportunity to rest and give it as much nourishment as you can without overtaxing it. And these could be 30.
Well, okay, let me come back to what I said a minute ago.
Okay.
This is one of my mother's old remedies for an upset tummy.
It's the old I'm a fun guy.
No.
No good.
Seriously, tomato, and if you like tomato juice and you can get it, the best tomato juice on earth is Red Gold because it's not from concentrate.
Red Gold, is it canned?
Yes,
like in a
it's in
big
a
can?
It's in a big can. Yeah,
like those old Hawaiian Punch cans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 64 right, ounces yeah. or something.
It's called Red Gold.
Mm-hmm. It's out of Taliban, Indiana, but I forgive them for that because all of their products are wonderful.
But it's not made from concentrate.
It's not from concentrate tomato juice. It's wonderful. And seriously, if you've got an upset stomach, as crazy as it may seem, tomato juice and saltines.
Yeah.
It works. And sweet tea, flat Coca-Cola, but only the kind with real sugar in it, not high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Whole milk, buttermilk.
Ooh, I don't know that I can do buttermilk.
And everybody, what is wrong with you people? Yes, you people do.
You know,
or yogurt with live and active cultures, because what you're doing is you're restoring the floral balance, and I don't mean roses, in your gut.
Do they still make Dannon with the fruit on the bottom?
I don't know. You know, everything pretty much went over to Greek yogurt, because it's got a little more consistency.
Yeah,
and back when I was eating the stuff with the sugar in it, my very favorite was the Oikos is by Dannon, and there was an Oikos that they at one point they had a Bananas Foster Oikos that had this little layer of caramel sauce on top of it.
That sounds good.
Oh God, it was so good. I haven't seen it in years. And then they just had the banana cream flavor, and that's gone too. Because if I like it, it goes away. It's the same thing with the Rob Jonas Backstage Popcorn Indian Spice flavor.
That you
I got
like
one lunch. Bag of it, and it's not to be found.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I could find it online, but the idea of paying the shipping cost on bags of popcorn, there's just something inside me that finds that morally wrong, even though they're shipping it to the stores, too. It's not me being logical. It's me being specifically illogical. But, yes, Dannon Yogurt, Ralph serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Dannon Yogurt Research Department, says yes, DannonYogurt.com.
Remember they used to run those commercials for the Dannon Original Yogurt with fruit on the bottom?
Yeah, with people from, like,
it's all
Estonia like or something who lived to be 112.
I used to look at that and just, that's probably what got me started eating that stuff. I used to like that music on the old Dannon commercial.
What was it, Bazooki music or something?
No, it was...
Shut that bloody Bazooki off!
I'll see if I can find it, and I'll send it to you. But, yeah, I just... and you know who used to have... Do they have Albertsons where you are, the grocery store?
No, we do not have Albertsons.
Okay, well, there...
We have Kroger, we have Food Lion, we have Walmart, we have Piggly Wiggly, and Grant's.
Albertsons used to have a store brand of yogurt, which was essentially as good as the original Dannon with fruit on the
same bottom. Same with Aldi. Aldi's store brand yogurt is wonderful.
I didn't know they were still around. I remember them from the Midwest. Maybe they have them out here, and I just
they're very much a going concern. But remember, they're also owned by Trader Joe's, and I know you've got a Trader Joe's.
Oh yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, there's one in the same complex where the Big Ralph's is, where I normally shop when I'm down that way. Which may become more often because at the end of February, Amazon Groceries has got this tiered order fee.
Yeah.
Like it used to be if you ordered, I think it was $35 worth of stuff in one order, it was brought to your door free. Well, and I don't know how they were losing money on that, but apparently it wasn't paying them enough. So at the end of February, if you buy $150 in one order of groceries and things, you get your free delivery. And then it's tiered. In other words, I don't know the breakdown, but it's free or $9.95 or $6.95. And you've got to get like $50 worth of stuff to qualify for the $6.95. And I'm really rethinking. I love the convenience of it, but I don't want to go broke with the shipping. I hear sirens. Maybe that's them now. I don't know. But anyway, I got my hunger for yogurt now.
Well, I had some one of the little places near a little brew pub actually changed their menu over to Greek, and so I was out running errands yesterday, and I came over all peckish, and popped in and got some spanakopita, and of course it was served with the tzatziki, which is yogurt based. You know, it's yogurt and cucumber and onion and dill. And it's just bright and tart and tangy and herbal and yum. Love it.
I love Greek food.
Oh, so do I.
The stuffed grape leaves and the...
We've got a couple of places around here that do it, but for the life of me, I cannot get eggplant moussaka, which I freaking love.
See, well, you can have mine, because I don't like eggplant.
I generally don't either, but in eggplant moussaka with the bechamel sauce, get out of town.
God, now I want a gyro.
That would be nice, too. That could be really yummy. But the other terribly depressing story I wanted to get to.
Oh, yeah, you were going to tell that other story, weren't you?
Yeah, I kind of was.
Sorry.
By the way, Reverbo is commiserating. Reverbo says, this happens to me all the time. Low-sodium Progresso gumbo soup discontinued. Superb organic wheat bread gone. Am I the only person who buys this stuff? No, because I was buying it too. Well, at least the Progresso, because, yeah. And Campbell's Chunky had a Thai soup, and I bought it all every time it came in, and the AI at Walmart and Kroger's were like, well, I mean, they're buying it, so we probably shouldn't put it on the shelves anymore.
They have the meeting up in that mysterious office back in the back room upstairs.
Well, I mean, that's where customer service went, though. You say, hey, could you try to, it was my years long effort to get Kaneka sausage in.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally a years long effort. And I would I actually called Kroger customer service somewhere over in Virginia or maybe Cincinnati.
Yeah, probably Cincinnati.
And they're like, well, you know, the computer does that, and we don't have any power over it. Like, they're your computers, aren't they?
Well, get the guy on the line that has to do with the power over the computer, asshole. Not you, them.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
Ponderous, man, ponderous.
Yeah, get down on the phone.
What are those pictures I was supposed to see?
What's the other story? Now I'm sitting on the edge of my...
It's another one of those, you know, while we weren't paying attention stories.
Uh-oh. Hate those.
A lot. No, there's a new report out from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Oh, about 2030?
No. Say it, Scott. Say it.
I don't know.
It's your SIG line. Say it.
We're all screwed, Robin.
There, thank you. Headline from the Washington Post, world is on the brink of catastrophic warning, UN climate change report says. A dangerous climate threshold is near, but it does not mean we are doomed. If swift action is taken, scientists say.
Yeah. Okay.
In other words,
we're
doomed. Yeah. Because there will be no swift action.
No.
Because it's not profitable.
No, hell no.
So what they found, it was released today from the IPCC, we will surpass limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial temperatures, by the early 2030s. And the Washington Post, Sarah Kaplan, reports, beyond that threshold, scientists have found climate disasters will become so extreme that people will not be able to adapt. Basic components of the Earth system will be fundamentally, irrevocably altered. Heat waves, famines, and infectious diseases could claim millions of additional lives by century's end.
Aye, aye, aye.
And they go, Sarah Kaplan goes on to write, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has demanded that developed countries such as the United States eliminate carbon emissions by 2040, a decade earlier than the rest of the world. He will, of course, be called... Come on. You know the script. A commie. A Marxist.
Well, yeah. A liberal. A leftist. A non-devotee of freedom or something.
And IPCC Chair Ho-Sung Lee said that we are at a critical moment in history. The world has all the knowledge, tools, and financial resources needed to achieve its climate goals, but after decades of disregarding scientific warnings and delaying climate efforts, the window for action is rapidly closing. Antonio Gutierrez said, it's a how-to guide to defuse the climate time bomb. Acceleration agenda is needed to speed up global actions on climate. China and India say, well, you know, we can get to net zero emissions by 2060 and 2070. Yeah, sorry, no. We signed up for 2050. That's not going to happen either. Meanwhile, one individual was at least somewhat sunny about it, and that was Ho-Sung Lee, and he said, or she, don't know, this report offers hope and it provides a warning. The choices we make now and in the next few years will reverberate around the world for hundreds, even thousands of years. Say it again, Scott.
We're all screwed, Robin.
Because the people that we need to make these decisions, well, there's that old line, and I can never remember who said it, but it's hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
You got it.
And so I don't think you're going to convince the CEO of ExxonMobil or Royal Dutch Shell or BP or any of these other assholes that the lives of billions of people who can't do anything for them are worth saving. They never title these things the way they should, Scott. The title of this should have been, we're fucked, colon, capitalism is culprit.
Now here's Fred with the sports.
Back to Bill in the Weather Center.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's blowing out here. The sea level rise just inundated Poughkeepsie.
And, you know, if there were some tangible upside to everything going just straight to shit, maybe something that we're not aware of that the other side is, and they either can't or won't tell us, that would be one thing. If this is a transition.
Yeah, that's the deus ex machina approach. Now we're all going to be okay because a miracle's going to happen.
But see, the thing is, they're all dominionist, Armageddonist wackaloons, and they're like, and I don't want to say anything against the visually impaired, but they're just blinded by their greed and their stupidity.
Well, I mean, this is the natural consequence of capitalism. That's not to say that socialism and communism are much better. I mean, look at the toxic cesspit that the Soviet Union made out of parts of Russia. You know, Lake Baikal is a fucking mess. And some of the sketchy shit that they did in Siberia, well, and elsewhere. Hey, Chernobyl, that was Ukraine. Well,
hey, how's that Chernobyl working out for you?
But the idea of endless of thinking, and you know, these Enlightenment thinkers, we tend to look at them and say, "Wow, you know, they're really bright." Well, they came up with a system that said we can perpetually consume on a closed loop planet. And you can't. You just can't.
No, you really can't. And it all goes back to, you know, getting back to, you know, dominionists and whack jobs.
Well, and don't forget the libertarian, the libertarian free marketeers. Like Elno Muskrat, his goal is to build a beach house on Mars and go there in his dick rocket.
I don't, right when you get work, Jack. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. If he's got the money and has got people fool enough to work.
Yeah, he and Jeff Bezos will race to Mars in their competing dick rockets.
But you see, it all goes back to that theory of the case in the very beginning, where the first man and woman were told, you know, and they were given dominion over the earth. Well, there was the first fuck up right there. Whenever you put
yes, and the fowls of the sea and the fish of the air, yes, yes, yes.
Whenever you put people in charge of anything who don't have sense enough to do the job appropriately and correctly, well, there's going to be a problem.
Well, dominion. I mean, if you're buying into that as even something remotely recognizably real, dominion was given to people who didn't understand why it rained.
Well, I mean, come on.
And in the case of Adam and Eve, one of the things that Mark Twain used to ponder was, you know, Adam had no idea where babies came from. This would be a good time for me to recommend reading The Diary of Adam and Eve again.
Yes, remember that.
I think it's a bear. I think it's a bear. I told her to put it back with its mother, and water began coming out of her face.
God. So I just we're talking about the 2030s.
Early 2030s, yes.
It's
long about my 70th birthday, if I make it that far.
I'll be able to see it then, because according to the palm reader, upstairs from Al's Magic Shop at 12th and Penn in D.C., I'm going to make it to 89.
You know what? While I'm there, I need to make sure, send me a message once I'm gone, and remind me of 12th and Penn, and I will go and take a photograph at 12th and Penn.
Oh, it's not the same as it used to
be. Oh, I know it. I know it's not, but that's right around where Fogo de Chao is.
Okay, yeah.
Not far down from the Navy Memorial.
You know where the old post office building is, later known as Trump Tower?
Yeah.
Al's was catacorner on the opposite side of Pennsylvania, on the opposite side of 12th Street, and there was the Apex or Capital Liquors on the corner. And Al's was a old brownstone, 3 or 4 story building right next on facing Pennsylvania, 1205 Pennsylvania Northwest.
Okay, is that the, okay, let me look at it. I think it would be hilarious if that turns out to be my favorite restaurant.
And I think when they moved up to Vermont Avenue, up near DuPont Circle somewhere. And then Al died a few years ago, but I think the magic shop is still in business somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I'd be interested to know what's a 1205. I think it's a high-rise office building these days.
Now I've got 1205 Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's just a little further down the street from Fogo de Chao.
Really?
Yeah.
Going toward the White House?
It
would have to be, because it's almost on the
corner. Yeah, it's heading north. Yeah, going northwest.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Right toward toward the White House.
I wish there's a way I could get back to D.C. My brother's been trying to get me out there, and I said, well, when it becomes safer to fly, and I don't have to deal with crazy people who are afraid to get their shots, that I'll come back out for a visit.
And then you're never going to D.C.
Well, maybe not.
I mean, I'm sorry to be a little ray of fucking sunshine, but I saw some asshole right-winger COVID denier, anti-vaxxer, COVIDiot actually talking about how he upbraided someone for wearing their mask on a plane. And he said, you know, imagine being so afraid of it. And the first thing I thought of was, imagine being such a dickhead that you castigate a total stranger on a plane. But again, we've discussed the fact that these people will come at you because they feel such a sense of innate privilege that you need to hear what they have to say.
Do you know what one of the side benefits of wearing a mask in that situation is?
What?
They can't see you mouth, fuck you, eat me, bite me. You know?
Bite me, Bambi.
Just sort of let your eyes smile at them a little bit as you mouth the words, fuck you, Jake. And the horse.
You wrote it. Yeah, that's beautiful. I hadn't considered that possibility. Yeah. That may become part of my life, right up there with ant farming.
Yeah, I used to do, back when I lived at the old place on, in Golden Hill, when I was a kid, I used to do magic, but I also used to do ventriloquism. I had my little, my little Danny O'Day, puppet, ventriloquist dummy. Hey, dummy. Yeah, what are you calling it anymore? But I still can throw my voice. And Punky would be snoozing on top of his little birdie house, and I would throw my voice, because he can see your mouth move. Birds are smart little creatures.
Sure.
But I was like, "Hey, Punky!" Here, you know, and he'd awake with a start, and he'd look around, and I'd keep doing it, just kind of looking, not at him, not even. Just off in that direction where the TV was, and he would cock his little birdie head, and he'd say, "Boy, what is he doing now? What the hell's going on now? Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" You know, or words to that effect in birdie language. But yeah, he didn't like it when I threw my voice.
Well, he was, after all, a bird brain.
Well, birds are actually smarter than we give them credit for.
Absolutely.
There was a thing on PBS, on Nova or Nature or something, about crows.
Did you see that? Crows are the smartest birds of all.
Oh, God damn. They're smarter than me.
Yeah, probably me too.
The fucking crossword puzzle that's not in the TV guide. I mean, I'm talking about the New York Times crossword. Give a bird. See, they got to teach them how to hold a fucking pencil, though. You know, that's the sticking point. The bird keeps dropping the pencil. So I don't know. Well, I feel like I'm bogarting the airwaves.
Well, you're not because, by the way, this is just a technical thing.
Yeah.
Apparently we are having problems with the head-on.live contact program interface.
Well, what's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm not getting emails this evening, and I'm pretty sure there's more than just you and me in the program.
Well, do you want to try sending you an email?
No, because Brother Deacon Asa already has.
Oh. And it didn't come through?
Didn't come through. Not even into the spam file.
Huh.
Brother Deacon Asa said, "Did you check your spam file?" And I said, "Yeah, there's nothing there but Trump emails."
Oh, God. How do you stand it?
I sent that fucker to the cornfield a long time ago.
Oh, man.
So, heaven only knows. It was working earlier today, but nothing.
Well, I'm sure I'll talk to you before you hit the road later in the week. But I hope you have an even more than pleasant trip. Because, see, the thing that I'm sending your way is the notion of, you know, stepping out of the usual, getting a break, getting more back into a previous type of routine, and getting to meet new people and deal effectively and get those muscles working again. See, that's the problem. We've gotten out of shape in what used to be our routines. And that's not a good thing to do, because we're wired to be effective and to be interactive personal interplay between human beings for, you know, positive beneficial outcomes. And maybe if we can step out of the COVID loop and get back into that previous routine and way of being, we can regain our equilibrium, because that's direly needed, sorely needed. A lot of people.
Well, I have never gone to D.C. and come back. And that's why I say, from time to time, it's good for me to travel once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it recharges my batteries and I get new stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never gone to D.C. that I didn't come back with stories.
Yeah, and never discount the importance of news stories and experiences, because that's, it recharges us, doesn't it? I mean, because we are human beings, interactive, you know, on an interactive basis.
Well, and and I admit to, I want to see if the vibe is any different in Biden's D.C.
Oh, it would have to be.
Because the last few times I was there, it was Nitwit Nero's D.C.
Although, maybe I'm too quick to say that. I was watching a video fairly recent of Sally Quinn, you know, who is married to the late Ben Bradley.
Right.
She's been a part of D.C. for some time. And I think it was at the beginning of Biden's time in office. And apparently the impact of Trump has taken its toll on the workings and the mindset and the vibe and the, see, it's a southern town, really, when it comes right down to it, where old-fashioned decency applied, even though it was the nation's capital, even though politics was the main industry, there was still a sense, not too terribly long ago, when people could disagree with their opposite numbers in the other party, but yet not lose their humanity and their relatability and their ability to interact after hours with other human beings.
Yeah, go ahead.
It has taken an awful toll just those 4 years on the she mentioned the word toxic, which I never like to hear in the world or society or a body of water or anything or air, and definitely not.
Yeah, people. There's just no good toxic.
No,
except for maybe a pop hit by Britney Spears.
Well, now you may be onto something. But yeah, I hope that the people are decent and more along the lines of the traditions of D.C. I'm talking about the hometown folks, is what I'm saying.
Well, and the same. I mean, I won't lie. I'm not worried, but a little concerned. I mean, things usually work out really well for me. Obviously, I haven't been back since I transitioned, and I already know that life for me is different now.
Yeah, well, you said packing is a nightmare.
Oh, Jesus! Don't get me started. Well, and oh God, you started me. So, in the before time, there were suits and dress shirts and neckties and dress shoes.
Yeah, I remember those.
Well, that good ship has sailed. And sunk, because given the time of year that it is right now, it could be, you know, it could be 40 degrees. I was in D.C. one March the 31st, and it was like 82 degrees.
Yeah, funny how that happened.
And I'm watching the weather app for all of it, but I have to take two wardrobes, one in case it's hot and the other in case it's cold. And
yeah, it's your dregs of winter ensemble and your early days of spring.
Blossoming spring, yes.
Yeah, your cherry blossom ensemble.
And then the trench coat has to go and the heavy car coat has to go. I freak out a little bit just thinking about it, because this is still new to me. Because I haven't traveled that much.
You need one of those Three Stooges steamer trunks with Larry.
Oh dear Jesus! Please no. I do need a good quality dress bag, because you don't want to just haul them out of the suitcase and hope the wrinkles hang out.
No, you gotta have something that's going to accommodate the article, without, you know, wrinkling it.
And like I said, the shoes get their own bag.
Oh dear.
And even if you don't want to take a bunch of shoes, you wind up taking a bunch of shoes, because everything doesn't go with everything anymore. Once upon a time, nice pair of black Oxfords, you were good.
And you've got to be careful, because if you're going to be doing a lot of walking, which you do on Capitol Hill.
Yes.
You know, I know they've got that little subway train downstairs in the basement. But, you know, when you're going, and those off, it's not all one building. You've got like the, what are there, three or four house buildings?
Three.
Offices?
And there's, you know, one of them, Rayburn is like, I don't know, Rayburn is like the labyrinth of the Minotaur.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take me a minute to figure out what the numbering scheme was again. I used to have it, you know, committed to memory. Oh, and I missed a funny. I owe Steve in New York a cowbell for this. Early in the program, I asked in regard to Nitwit Nero, do they make ankle monitors that big?
Yeah.
Steve wrote and said, not sure, but I am pretty sure they make wrist bracelets that small.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them in the claw machine.
How do you do that? It's like we'd already workshopped this.
I had it in the back of my mind in case ankle bracelets and handcuffs came up.
You know, I believe you.
No, I'm serious. I watch the news with an eye toward a good line. I've always done it. I mean, that's an old radio thing. You see something in a newspaper or magazine or whatever, you make a note of it. Because sooner or later, the topic's going to come up. And it does, doesn't it? I mean, I just proved it. Yeah, those teeny tiny handcuffs, almost like Barbie handcuffs, the kinky collection from Barbie and her friend Midge. You know, it's your Donald Trump teeny
bondage
tiny
is hand. Fun. Yeah, right. Oh, and suddenly, just merely talking about it, and the healing hands of faith were laid on the head on radio head on .live contact form, and so I've got a little catching up to do.
All right,
going back to the dude, that dude, Cynthia out in the Bay Area said, subject line: Obama is part of a criminal cabal responsible for JFK's assassination. Really? This bastard is stupider than a box of doorknobs. He ought to be locked up in a loony bin for his own good and protection. The stupidity leaves me at a loss for words. Jesus! That's Cynthia. And then also on the same guy, Theo writes, silly Pete. See what I did there? I see what you did there. Hey, I covered this idiot during the Malheur Wildlife Reservation occupation in Southeast Oregon back in 2016. And, oh, gods, what a fool. Even when the videos he recorded at public events repudiated every damn thing he'd said, his wrap-ups at the end ignored the plain truth of his footage, and he slathered some self-congratulatory idiocy onto the situation. I was sick of old Silly and his cohorts a long time back, and I kept trying to remember, where have I heard of this guy? And I thought maybe he was the CNBC guy who started the whole Tea Party movement back in 2010, but no. Yeah, he was at the Bird Sanctuary as... Ammonium Nitrate Bundy was pleading, please send snacks, and got sent from all over America dildos.
Not even cheese in the can is going to help. It's not going to make that into a snack of any discernible type. Ew. Go away.
And I... Theo responded my question about Hades and Persephone. The webcomic, there actually is one of those, Lore Olympus, a phenomenal webcomic by artist and writer Rachel Smith. She's published two volumes of her acclaimed series, and it's definitely worth reading. Her illustrations are marvelously on point for the characters, so it's a treat for the eyes and for the literary mind. Worth your time. I will look it up, Theo. Meanwhile, George... says, I missed the beginning of the show, but if I'm not mistaken, that Trump recording was a comedian who does a spot-on impression of Nitwit Nero. I don't recall his name. Nicole Sandler's played his videos. No, the one that John Oliver played was actually Nitwit Nero addressing some real-live, honest-to-God farmers.
Oh, yeah.
Oliver didn't get fooled. Those people are too good.
No,
That's not a that. Bit.
I saw that and I said, this man has just, I knew he lost it months and years ago. But when he's talking about the death tax and how much he did for the farmers, and I mean, he is just out there. He's like General Jack D. Ripper.
Some of these guys really are.
I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of...
Dr. Strangelove used to be funny. It isn't funny anymore.
Yes, it's prophetic. I don't mean to get old Pat Robertson on you, but it's a prophetic word.
I mean, we live in a world now where what used to be Colonel Bat Guano is now Michael Flynn. Now, see here, Colonel Bat Guano, that really is your name. Sorry,
All right, I'll shoot it.
You're going to have to answer.
But if you're lying, you're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
I got to.
Keenan Wynn.
I'm way overdue.
Where are those people? I know he's long gone. Same with where are the great character actors?
Have you ever watched, there was, you remember Tom Snyder on The Tomorrow Show?
Oh, yeah.
He did a couple of interviews with the guy who played Jack D. Ripper. What's that actor's name?
Sterling Hayden.
Sterling Hayden, yes. And this is in the, we're talking about the early to mid-1970s. So he was older at that point than he was in Dr. Strangelove and the other roles that he's been in. And always a hell of an actor, always turned in just a stellar performance. If you can find those Tom Snyder, Sterling Hayden interviews, was a very wise man.
Oh, yeah, and one of his claims to fame at the height of his career was that he was the only person on Earth ever to join the Communist Party and buy a yacht on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and worked with, who did he work with? Was it the Yugoslavian or Hungarian freedom fighters?
Resistance, yeah.
Resistance or something? Yeah, and wrote a book. I think Sailing was in the title. That was why he was on with Snyder, was to talk about the book, but also his career. Oh, God. I mean, just one of those people that was like a Renaissance-type person, multifaceted, multi-talented, and not like today's Hollywood folks, by and large. Somebody who had a background that he brought to the field of acting. There's some people who just bring themselves and make do with that, which is okay if you can get away with it. But I mean, this guy was the real deal, I thought. But yeah.
Oh no, I mean him and Strother Martin.
Oh yeah, God.
George Kennedy.
What we have is failure to communicate.
And. Who am I thinking? Franklin Pangborn.
Oh, God.
And who played Mrs. Claypool in all in the, you know, here, Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Margaret Dumont.
Yeah.
Yes.
Margaret Dumont. Jeez.
The minute I said Hair Claypool, he went, oh, Margaret Dumont.
Say the cigarette. It's a common thing you find around the house. The no good shiftless bum.
Wait, she worked with Fields too, didn't she?
Did she? I don't remember. I know that she.
And the woman from Harvey. I had to mention Harvey just because it's Joy in Ann Arbor's favorite film.
Oh, the woman from Harvey.
Yeah.
Was it Spring Byington? No. Beulah Bondi?
Yeah, Mr. Dowd's sister. Take me out of this bath this instant.
Harvey's the one about the invisible rabbit.
Yes, Puka.
I don't remember the character that you're talking about. Somebody knows.
Oh, no, I got it right here. Elwood Pete, Josephine Hull.
Oh, I know the name. What else has she been in? She had to be with Fields at one point. Did she ever... who played the wife or the mother-in-law in... was it the Bank Dick?
Yeah.
Sorry, we're going down this rabbit hole again.
She lived to be 90. No, 80. 1877 to 1957. All over Broadway. And she played in Arsenic and Old Lace as well on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Solid Gold Cadillac.
Oh, dear. Sweet, merciful Jesus.
Yeah, I played the lead in that one time. No, she's not. No W.C. Fields.
Wow.
All right, now we've done it.
Have we conjured up?
B-A-N-K-D-I-C-K. There we go. Agatha Soussé was played by Cora Witherspoon.
Okay.
Accent grave, oh, the E.
I am indeed.
Ah, Goggleby. Sounds like a bubble in a bathtub. Oh, we've lost everybody now.
Oh, come on. Come back, people. We were just funning with you.
God. It makes me happy. Subject line, over it. Matt in San Francisco saves us. I, like Scott, was re-traumatized this weekend. The basic story was 45 posts some shit on his Twitter knockoff site. Media picks it up, runs with it, treats it with the weight of a Churchill speech. Hold on. Matt's been in the zone for a while now. The media picks it up, runs with it, and treats it with the weight of a Churchill speech. Then have every single person on the payroll come in and pontificate on what the orange god really meant and what the possible outcome should be. Simply repeat this formula for the next 24 hours. It was a show the doctor... Oh, no! Oh, no! I don't understand the power that Matt has to do this. You and Matt. Simply repeat this formula for the next 24 hours. It was a show the doctor where the man touched you moment. Enough already. Why are we continuously paying attention to what the crazy man says? Wasn't 4 years enough?
Good point.
Amen.
Good point.
Let's talk about climate change instead. That's so much sunnier. See what I did there? Yeah, and they buried the lead. You know, if you're again with climate change, you're going to have to get them to get the, you know, get the wealthy people on board. So it's way too many paragraphs down in the story. When our intrepid reporter writes, the suffering is worst in the world's poorest countries and low-lying island nations, which are home to roughly 1 billion people, yet account for less than 1% of humanity's total planet warming pollution. The report says. But as climate disruption increases with, and this is important, pay attention, J.P. Gottrocks, G.I. Love Money. But as climate disruption increases with rising temperatures, not even the wealthiest and most powerful protected places will be immune.
Well, it's a nowhere to run to, nowhere to hide sort of deal.
Yeah, no one here gets out alive. Jack Elam, by the way, Randy Radar says, a great character actor. Yeah.
You know, to watch Jack Elam and Marty Feldman having a staring contest is to see something that is like unknown to most of humankind. I'm just saying.
Oh, and by the way, Theo says, all right, damn it. I love emails like that. Sterling Hayden's memoir was Wanderer.
Wanderer. Thank you.
And then the woman who outshone everyone but the Pooka in Harvey was Josephine Hull. Whoops, you just caught that one. I'm going to go away from the keyboard, and you can hunt up your own damn trivia answers from here on. Got a few household disasters to contend with. I think there are probably cats involved. How does this happen? Oh, and by the way, just because it can't all be beer and Skittles here. Franklin Graham, son of Billy.
Oh, God.
The shyster falls not far from the tree shyster. Franklin Graham. Because he uses the Book of Faces.
They're so paranoid of him. The onslaught against him is continual. There's no question the media and the left manipulated the last election. So night after night, the media runs negative stories about former President Trump. Now they're talking about the possibility of arresting him in the hopes that this would prevent him from running for president again. This would be a huge mistake. I would like to ask Christians across this country to pray specifically for former President Donald J. Trump, that God's hand would be upon him, protect him, and direct him in every step he takes, and that God's will be done. We need to work together to strengthen this nation, not divide it and destroy it.
Oh, shut up.
Well, I mean,
can we not pray the same prayer that that people like him prayed over Barack Obama?
Like, smite his ass?
Imprecatory prayer. May his days be few upon the earth, and his wife a widow, and his children are orphans. We can't do that one?
Well, I kind of gave up conversing with imaginary friends when I was 5 or 6. You know? Why even bring a deity into it, real or imagined? I think voting is way more effective than praying in some areas. Sometimes prayer is the only option that you have. Well, not you personally, because you don't go that way. But you can understand that it's not in any established way. I like to think of the totality of the universe being in sync with positivity and appropriateness and beauty and wonder and love. And if that makes me a twisted fuck, well, I guess that's what I am. But I don't.
Well, here we are. Yeah.
You know, but I don't do it. I don't engage in activity to smite people and bring people down other than politically. And I think that's allowed because this is America. The land of the free and the home of the whopper. So there.
Have it your way, Scott.
But
have it your way.
I could go for a whopper just about now. I like them whoppers. But anyway, I was going to.
You know, I know what you really like. Ollie's trolley.
Oh God, I wish I could have an Ollie's trolley, but it would involve a long road trip.
Well, I'm going to be, and I am going to make every effort to get there.
Well, I hope you find it to be everything that I've said that it is, and I hope it still is.
Is there parking?
I'm trying to think. What is the address? Like E Street, 10th and E, something like that?
I don't know. I'm going to be in Falls Church.
Okay, well, I don't know about Falls Church. I know there used to be one in the Arlandria section of Alexandria. Look it up in the book there. Isn't
yeah,
there
I've got it right in front of me. Yeah.
There's one near around the corner from the FBI, or used to be.
Jesus, there's one in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I had all.
There's one in Louisville. There's one, God, Maryland? No. They must close early, though. They open 10 a.m. tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Oh, okay.
Just out of curiosity,
425 12th Street Northwest, Washington.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So that'll be when I'm down there taking a picture in front of Al's.
In the D.C. area, is there a restaurant chain called Lum's, L-U-M apostrophe S?
I'm familiar with that. I don't know if there is one. I don't know if they're still a going concern.
Because you used to be able to get Ollie Burgers at Lum's.
I'm seeing Lum's hot dogs. Defunct, 1982, 41 years ago.
Well, that shows you how much I know.
Oh, but it sounds good. Lum's world-famous hot dog steamed in beer.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I wonder if they still have Friendly ice cream parlors. That's a chain of ice cream parlors.
Friendlies?
Friendlies, yeah. And if memory serves, they had little railroad cars on a ledge up near the ceiling that ran around the perimeter of the interior of the restaurant.
Friendly's has been a favorite family restaurant over 80 years, from ice cream to burgers. Bring your family to dine at a local Friendly's today.
Does it say anything about trains, little trains?
No.
I may be confusing it with something else.
Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts. A lot of them in Massachusetts. New Hampshire, New Jersey. Nothing in Princeton. New York, Pennsylvania, South Carolina. Nothing in D.C.
Huh.
Oh. Nothing in Virginia.
Well, damn. Damn.
Yeah, I know. But there is an Ollie's trolley, and I, like I said, I'll make every effort.
Well, and like I say, I hope you find it to be everything that I found it to be. And try the fries. I think you will be, favorably impressed. If you like the burger, you're probably going to like the fries.
Okay, you said these are shoestrings, right?
No, I know Waffle Shop or Waffle is it? Yeah, Waffle Shop. With an E at the end, S-H-O-P-P-E, Chopay, shop or whatever.
Yes.
They have the shoestrings. I forget what the shoe.
No, see, there was Omelet Shop, Waffle Shop, and then there's Waffle House.
Yeah. See if there's a Waffle Shop near Fort.
I'm only going to be there for 2 days, Scott.
Oh, but you can eat a lot in 2 days.
Remember me, counting carbs?
Well, now do you want to travel well or do you want to count carbs? You got to make up your mind what you're going to do. What are you going to do, Robin? What are you going to do? It's up to you what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's the whole Carl Malden thing. What will you do? What will you do?
Good old American Express Traveler's Chicks. Spelled Q-U-E-S at the end of the
word. Yeah, of course. Yeah, check-use.
Check-use. Jackies. Jesus. Stop me, damn it.
No, absolutely, I refuse. Scott, you have a wonderful evening.
Well, it's been one so far, and like I say, I'll probably talk to you before you hit the road, but it's been a delight.
It's nice to hear you back at the top of your game.
Well, I'm getting there. I think another 2 days of recovery... I'll have the V8 juice wagon back up right to the door and pump in another couple of gallons. And by midweek, I should be all right.
Good deal. Well, I'm sure. And by the way, I should probably note, since I'm not going to be here Friday, we're going to have a Thursday on the side porch.
Ooh, sounds like a wiener.
That's only because we mentioned Lum's, isn't it?
Well, you may already be a wiener. I just a mighty hot dog is our Lord. All right, Robert, take care.
Good night, Scott.
Good bless you and good night.
Precisely. Good night, yeah. Mrs. Calabash, et cetera.
Thank
Get Don on the phone.
Are those pictures ready yet?
Yeah, where are those pictures I was supposed to see?
And where's my little dog Snuggles? All right, good night, Robin. Take care.
One of these days I'm going to play that again just in case people have forgotten. Oh, later.
See ya.
Bye. Scott is a conversationalist and a raconteur without peer. And I'm glad to hear him feeling what sounds like considerably better. Well, it's Morin Monday after all. By the way, we came into the program with $855 to go in fundraising. And sadly, we are still at $855 to go in fundraising. Ralph's kindly put a Kayla looking out the window challenge on the table to the tune of $25. It would have gotten us down to $805. And no takers. In a program that I think got pretty good content. Goose eggs are hard. Not like... goose eggs just make it difficult, especially when I'm getting ready to hit the road. So, in the next 10 minutes or so, if somebody would like to meet Ralph's challenge or maybe get us all the way down to just $800 to go, that'd be great because we've only got four, including, we've got four meaningful days of broadcasting, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday on the front porch, the 31st. And we really can't deficit months. So the PayPal button's over at headon.live. So is the Patreon. There's Venmo, too. And, of course, the mailing address. Is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Yeah, here's a moment of just dumb. The setup isn't dumb. As I mentioned, Annette and I were anxious to see the beginning of season 3 of Ted Lasso. I liked it. I understand the darkness. Annette is less than thrilled. But today, the cast of Ted Lasso was invited to the White House to meet President Biden. And part of the storyline of Ted Lasso has to do with Ted's mental health crises. And that was all well and good, and they were invited to the press briefing room where Corinne Jean-Pierre holds court. And they said, Jason Sudeikis plays Ted Lasso, speaking to the reporters. He said, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter who you voted for, we all know someone that's struggled, that's felt isolated, that's felt anxious, that's felt alone, and encouraging compassion and help for people struggling with mental health. Well, there's an online outlet called Today News Africa. And in the middle of it all, their reporter started complaining about the fact that Corinne Jean-Pierre didn't call on him. Or didn't call on him enough. And Corinne Jean-Pierre kind of got stone-faced and said, you know, I mean, we go back and forth in here. It's the nature. But then she said, what I will not appreciate is disrespecting your colleagues and disrespecting guests who are here to talk. We're here to talk about an incredibly important issue, which is mental health. It was sweet. They had there's a set piece in the story arc in which, when he first gets there, Ted Lasso writes the word "believe" on a piece of poster board and slaps it above his door. And so yesterday, the official presidential Twitter account, without any explanation, created the same sign and taped it above the door to the Oval Office. somebody's always got to fuck it up. For the life of me, I don't know. Yeah, that moment? Yeah, that moment. But I'm glad they were able to do it. Because Lord knows this country is in a mental health crisis, and I don't know of a time that it wasn't. And as I pointed out during the pandemic, we talked about it. That's only making things worse, and we're still not okay. Best of luck, Cynthia. These are odious processes, and I'm sorry you have to go through it, but I'm glad you are, because you got to stay healthy. Talking about food. Cynthia says, well, I have my colonoscopy scheduled for Friday, and I'm... Oh, the steel eel. And I'm already modifying my diet, avoiding all those banned foods that would have ingredients I would love to eat right now but can't, and I'm hungry. Okay, Thursday will be the day I really have to starve myself, but I already want foods I can't eat at this point. Well, come the other side of the procedure, I'm going to pig out. Count on it. Go, girl. Do it. Find something you absolutely love and absolutely go for the gusto. And you know, before the procedure is worse than during the procedure. So, we'll keep you in all our thoughts, Cynthia. But you do have to write in and tell us what your post-fast meal was. Yeah, oddly enough for me, every time I've had one, I come out of it jonesing for that cheap, nondescript, generic Mexican restaurant salsa. I don't know why. I can drink that stuff like, and we're back to Scott, tomato juice. Thank you so much to two anonymous people who met Ralph's challenge. Thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough. It is so helpful. Three, actually. So, hey, look what we just did. Thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you to Will in California. And thank you to two anonymous folks. That means that we went from 855 down to 730. And that is huge. Thank you so very much, all of you. Two anonymouses, Kevin and Will in Chicago, 7:30. So that means, you know, heck, if we did $31 more, we wouldn't have a four-digit fundraising hole tomorrow. Amazing. But thank you for getting us, making sure this wasn't a goose egg this evening. It means so, so very much. So very much indeed. And, you know, Ralphs, thank you for the challenge. Thank you so much. So that's Moran Monday. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. I hope you do too. And I'm already looking forward to tomorrow's program. I think I have to play amateur Uber driver tomorrow, but that's okay. I'll be back in plenty of time for the program. One more call before we go. Somebody's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Monkey Robin, can you hear me?
I hear you, Scary Jerry. How are you? Wow. There's a
the adventure continues. Hold on a second. I'm actually live on location. I am roadieing for a smoothie stand for Ultra Music Festival this weekend. If I could bust, you could just set me on fire right now. I'm living the fucking dream. How you doing, Miss Robin?
Aunt Farman.
What's going on in your world?
Aunt Farman.
You know what Ultra Music Festival is?
No, I do not.
Ultra Music Festival is a 3-day music festival where the tickets cost $399 for general admission. $14.95 for VIP, and all the world's electronic music DJs come through for the end of spring break month, which is in Violet, but that's Miami. and they do it on the water, and it's where the rich and famous and the person who just scraped together $199 last October, and stayed in line because there's like a line, but when the tickets come on sale, they got in. I went to the first Ultra Music Festival when, shit, before my first kid was born. How about that? and she's, I have a grandkid, so she's 26. It started with just one DJ, and now it's a, I'm a part of the billion-dollar festival industrial complex, and I couldn't be happier. That's the only way I was getting into the event, and I actually, as a stipulation in my contract, I'm allowed to go dance. It's a California concert company, so they do shit like that. They're like, oh, yeah, you need to go shake your ass. Go ahead. I'm like, oh, my God, I love you people. I could work for free. But I don't have to. I already have a full day in to put me down for another 10. And I just wanted to report from location.
I'm so glad you did. And it sounds like you're living the dream.
And it's, and you know what? It's what I almost swear to God, I had a conversation with Carolyn. And she was like, you got to get out of the house. Why don't you go work Ultra or something? That was like a month ago, and I'm doing. And I said it to my daughter. She says, "Well, you got to say it. You got to speak it into the universe." And I got hired while I was at the fair, at the festival, the carnival yesterday. While I was there, modern smartphones are amazing. My old phone couldn't do that. That's specifically why I bought that phone. I figured I'd have to take a call in a noisy environment, which doesn't sound like much, but well, that could be hit or miss, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how modern the modern economy works. You take a phone while you're, you know, in Texas to the toilet or something along those lines. On the ground?
All right. Yeah, we're good. We've got, as long as we can stack on top of it.
All right. So I'm Rodian, and me and Carolyn went to an Ultra. That's how, this is that kind of thing. I didn't go last year because I was crying and losing my mind. And I said last year, I made a challenge to myself. Doesn't matter what you do, just next year you got to go. And I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, jumping up and down like a teenager.
That's awesome. I'm so daggum happy for you.
I even came up with a T-shirt. I call it techno. Fuck you and your EDM. If you call it EDM, I'll hit you with a stick and get off my lawn. And on
it's a lot to read on a T-shirt.
Here. Well, it's electronic music festivals are deep thinking and philosophical. That's what I love. The vibe there is woke. That's the word.
Woke.
Yes, that's the word.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for your governor to declare that the red tide is woke.
Well, you know what? There's a less than zero chance we get raided. How about that? Because he's the governor. He would, I'm sure there'll be a drag queen there somewhere, so you never know. He had secret agents going to drag shows. What the fuck, Robin? What the fuck?
Well, he apparently sent secret agents to watch the Christmas drag show in Orlando and another one in Miami.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, what the hell? And that's Socrates in the background, isn't it?
That's Socrates. He just came in because it's cold outside.
I know he always comes from about 7:20 to about 7:50.
Hey, Scary Jerry, I got to get out of here, but I'm happy for you. And
I know
we'll
you do.
Soon.
I just wanted to be the last call. Hey, Scott, good to have you around, running around. We're cleaning fryers. We're doing smoothies. I'll send video and photographic proof. Take care. Drive safe.
I sure will.
Talk to you soon.
All right, see you, Jerry. Bye now. Scary Jerry, living the dream. And so that's it. Things got better, And so we got down to $720 to go in fundraising. Thank you so much, everybody who jumped in. Thank you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors for keeping us from having a goose egg this evening. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please, pretty please, we're making progress. Like and subscribe and leave a comment. Doesn't take you hard, it takes hardly any effort at all. And over on TuneIn, if you listen on that player, press that like button. And I don't know, maybe you'll get a better quality of ad or something. Maybe it won't be ExxonMobil. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. I know my good friend Vernon Haltom was off on a site visit on a mountaintop removal site today. Those things are necessary, and God, the mess and the existential horror and the ecological horror and the human rights horror. But, you know, this is the work that Cold River Mountain Watch does. And they're a proud union shop, and the AIC Act is coming back. That's why I'm going to D.C. for a couple of days. And, well, I can't wait. Please get your booster before they're not free anymore. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Still a good idea. You haven't dodged, you know, you can get the flu in the summer, and it sucks. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your masks, please. The maggots are a filthy lot. Like I said, I got to buy a whole new box. Maybe go to Lowe's or something to take with me to New Jersey and D.C. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Got to get some hand sanitizer, too. Maybe I can get some Go-Gru hand sanitizer, Baby Yoda. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Paul, we need to hear from you, buddy. Been a while. And, if some guy comes babbling down the sidewalk towards you talking about, we got to find the people who killed, the cabal that killed JFK, well, avoid that silly maggot like the plague. Because he is. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Later.